thank you, Brother Odell. And I truly, truly want to express my appreciation for what I felt, what I sensed. Amen. I appreciate so much, Brother and Sister Odell. Amen. Brother and Sister Elder and each one that's on this youth committee. I have traveled a few places, and I've been to places where I really felt that those that were in the youth department were only there to soak their own ego because they enjoy whatever goes along with it and the aura that it's supposed to be something special. But to come and meet real people, hallelujah, that are in it just totally because they love you young people, is a extremely refreshing experience for me. Amen. And to see and to sense that you have precious leaders around here. Amen. You need to not only, amen, let me just say this, you need to not only here at camp express it to them, but every now and then if you got enough of appreciation, you need to put a letter in the mail to them. Let them to know how much you appreciate the sacrifice that they made just for you. Love and care and concern. Amen. And I appreciate these great people. And Brother and Sister Young, amen. What a wonderful principal. His wife, amen. Sister Young is just, man, she just made sure every need of mine was just taken care of to the max. She even fried me up some fish I caught out here. Me and Brother Elder caught last night. We enjoyed that. Amen. I got a little jealous, I'll have to admit, Sister Young, when I saw Brother Odell give you a big hug last night. I thought that's just kind of what I feel like doing to her, but it may not be received quite as well if I did it. Amen. What a sweet, sweet, precious man and his wife that love God, love the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going home from here today. Amen. And we really, really want to do something for God, don't we? The only hope our generation has, the only hope they have for revival is right here in this building. Amen. And I want God to speak and talk with us. I will not preach long to you here, I promise you, today. I have preached these services before, and it's that enviable position in Pentecost that the less you say, the more you're appreciated. Praise God. And boy, I felt like you've appreciated me until now, so I sure ain't going to blow it this morning. Amen. I want you to really, really, really appreciate, amen, me being here. I would like to tell you just before we go to the Word of the Lord, I'd like to encourage each one of you young people, amen, if you have never until now, will you go to work, amen, starting immediately leaving this camp to develop you some type of a prayer life, of just a daily time of being alone with God and talking to the Lord. It doesn't have to be an hour. Don't kick yourself if you can't maintain some unrealistic regimen, but just some time that you're alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. You just get a little strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Kind of like the story I heard once when President Carter was our president and Menachem Begin was the Prime Minister of Israel, and Begin came to visit the White House. President Carter let him in the office. Everything was spread out. He said, I got a couple of questions to ask you. He said, I see you have three different phones here. He said, you've got this white line over here. You've got this black phone over here. You've got this red phone over here. He said, what are those for? He looked at him. He said, "Well, you see, you've got to understand." He said, "The red line is a direct line for me to the Congress in the event that I need to get in touch with them, some national matter of security and problem." "What's the other one?" He said, "Well, that's directly to Russia. So I can talk with the president there in case accidentally a missile starts flying our direction if we know it's war." He said, "What's the white line?" He said, "That's a direct line to God." He said, "To God?" He said, "What's it cost to place a phone call on that to God?" He said, $10,000 a minute. But he said, "You know, I found out it's worth every minute of it." Fagan thought, "Well, that's really something." Carter came to visit him. It really happened. This isn't Aesop's fables, but he went to visit him, and Fagan thought, "Well, I'll get him back." He arranged three telephones of different colors upon his desk there. Carter came in and said, "Well, I guess I need to ask you also, what's the red line over here for?" He said, "That's to our legislative branch in the event of the Syrians or somebody else comes against us." "What's the other line?" He said, "That's to Egypt, the largest Arab country, in case their tanks come rolling across the desert again." He said, "And I guess that the white line is to God, isn't it?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what's it cost?" He said, 10 cents. He said, 10 cents? What in the world?" He said, "Yes, Mr. Carter, from here it's a local call." Amen. And if you ever get that kind of relationship with your God, that from here it's a local call. And I keep in touch with Him daily. Whoa, you've got a hold of something that'll bless and strengthen your life. Amen. The book of Joshua. Don't want to make a liar out of myself. The 14th chapter. I want to read to you there. Amen. The 14th chapter of the book of Joshua, beginning at verse number 6. Story that I'm sure you know ever so well. 14th chapter of Joshua and verse number 6 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing." "Said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I want to leave with you, amen, a thought from Caleb's very own words. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Praise God. If your appetite has been whetted this week, in any way that you really have caught a glimpse of something you want from God, I'd be an idiot to let you go home thinking that you're just going to automatically reach it and attain it, and it won't be a struggle, and it won't be a fight, and it won't be something that chances are you will probably fail at your first or second or third attempt at getting a hold of that mountain. But I'm here to encourage you, to let you to know, if you got the same spirit Caleb had, one day, amen, if you got a made-up mind, you're going to get it. Amen. You're going to get it. Hallelujah. Let's pray together right now. Mighty God, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love and worship and magnify you. We give honor and praise unto you for all that you have done, God. Thank you, love and you praise and you worship and you, God. Oh, one more time, God. Let the Word of God find lodging in the hearts of these precious young people, God. I believe you and thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. The conquest of the Promised Land was a wonderful, wonderful high point in the experience of Israel. The 12 spies had gone from Kadesh Barnea. They had looked over that beautiful land that God had promised them that flowed with milk and with honey. The Bible tells us that the deepest penetration that was made into the Promised Land by them that were spying out the land was a city by the name of Hebron. That was the farthest that they had gone in. And when they went in there, they ran into the stiffest opposition. The most formidable of a foe was there. Massive giants, walled cities. It looked like an impregnable fortress that they had finally come up against. When they ran up against something that difficult, I don't know what all of their motives were, but the spies decided to turn around and head on back. And they went back across and they gave their story. And the report was very, very negative by 10 of them. But the Bible said that Joshua had another spirit. There was something inside of Joshua and Caleb that said, you know what? We ran into the hardest old stump that we could ever imagine running into. And it looks like it's an impossible situation. But, oh, Caleb, within his heart, he looked at Moses that day, and he said, Moses, if you want to know which area of land that I'm interested in taking, it's not the easy pickings that are along the border that even interest me at all. I have no interest in city without any giants, without any walled cities, without any difficulty. He said, where I want to is what made the rest of them run in terror. What I want is that city of Hebron that was there. That is the city that I am interested in conquering, that mountain, for the glory and the honor of the Lord. And so Caleb had the painful experience of keeping his faith alive through the process of time and reaching for something that he couldn't quite get a hold of, couldn't quite get a grip on it. But he kept on striving and wanting and longing once again for the city of Hebron. The rest of the spies had misunderstood what Hebron represented. When you come into a difficult problem, a difficult situation, a battle, a temptation to conquer in your life, if you and I are not careful, we think, you know what, that's just like the devil to put all of these awful obstacles in my way. But the name Hebron, young people, it means friend. Hebron is not your enemy. Your temptations are not your enemy. Your struggles, your problems, you're butting your head against concrete walls and wondering why you can't overcome certain things is not some hideous creature from a lagoon in hell that came to cause you trouble. It is a friend to you that will cause you to regroup and get back a hold of yourself and say, you know what, I want that mountain. Something inside of Caleb could have said, you know what, I'm not a glutton for punishment, so why don't I take a lesser mountain than that mountain that I first saw the glimpse of that I wanted. But something inside of Caleb's heart said, not on your life. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. The very one that I saw in my vision of God helping me to conquer and overcome. I ain't settling for anything less. I refuse to be satisfied to live down on a lower elevation than what I first saw that God really could help me to come and to conquer. For you see, the city of Hebron had all of the struggles of taking it. But there was something inside of Caleb's heart that knew that Hebron was the burial place of the three great patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And there was something within his heart that said, you know what I want? I don't want anything less than what my forefathers had. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but if Abraham was buried there, if Isaac was buried there, if Jacob was buried there, guess who else is going to be buried there? Caleb has got him a spot that is picked out. Oh, young people, if God's done anything for you this week, there should have been something within your heart that said, I want the old path. I don't want a modern generation. I don't want that at all. I want exactly what my forefathers had. I want the touch of God upon me like the generations before me had. Amen. 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 Hebron later became the place of the royal palace for King David for 7.5 years. But Caleb had a spirit within him that said, I have eyeballed a certain mountain, and I want it, and I am going to get it. I cannot overstress to you young people today the real, genuine necessity in you at this age of your life defining some spiritual goals that you are going to obtain. any old dead fish can flop downstream on the river. But for you to make up your mind, there's a mountain, and I'm going to get it. Not just one like it, not just one near it, but I've got a mountain that God is going to help me to attain. I read of a survey once that so impacted it in my mind, of a large university where the brightest and the brilliantest minds of all of our nation's young people went. They went to survey there the graduating class that was now graduating to go out in life. And as they began to make up this survey, they asked them, they said, in your lifetime, what are your goals? What are you going to accomplish in life? Sad to say, even all the way through all that schooling, there was only 3% of that entire graduating class that had any clear-cut goals as to what their life was going to accomplish. After all of that, they hadn't zeroed in on any mountain. Just anything would do for them. 97% of them said, you know, I really don't know. I've got my degree in this, and I've got this and that and the other, but I'm really not sure what my life is going to accomplish. 20 years later, they hunted back up those same exact young people that they surveyed 20 years earlier. And you know what they found out? That the 3% that had a clear-cut goal as to what their life was going to do had done more in their 20 years than the other 97% all put together. The 3% that got a hold of something that said, it's this mountain that I want, it's this mountain that I'm going to get, had affected their world, had changed their society, had invented cures for diseases, had done great and marvelous things. I don't believe the Lord is going to tarry that long before He returns. But I want to tell you something. In just the next few years, the young people in this youth camp that made it up in their mind, there is this mountain that I want, are going to do more for God than all the rest of them put together. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that Caleb fought a battle that we all fight. And that is when you zero in on the mountain that you want from God, you cannot allow time to diminish your strength. Because, young person, can I be real honest with you? There are some things that I conquered at age 25 that I thought I would have had conquered at age 15. I didn't make it at 15. I didn't make it. But I didn't change which mountain that I was headed for. I didn't compromise it to say maybe I'll never get it. And there are some things that I conquered at age 30 and that I'm conquering at age 35 that I thought I should have long ago. But something on the inside said it's mine. That wasn't the devil that gave me the glimpse of that mountain. That was God. And time is not going to diminish the strength with which I pursue it. If you're 13 years old and you made some vows to God and you go home from this youth camp and you don't live up to all those vows, I'm telling you, don't change the mountain.
Don't change the mountain. If you're 15 or 16 or 17 and you fail in an area where you thought you would never fail again, I'm telling you, get up and look back at that mountain and say, I'm coming back at you. I'm coming back at you. I'm coming back at you. I will not be satisfied with anything less. We are so much like the animal creature. The cheetah, they tell me, is a massive hunting machine. The cheetah, the fastest of all of the land animals. He stalks his prey and looks for the antelope, decides which one he's going after. That cheetah there creeps up and makes the burst of speed that is necessary to charge. But if some way his speed can only hold up for so long, if he misjudged the distance, or he misjudged the strength, the running ability of the particular antelope that he was headed for, and as he charges toward it, he sees that he's going to run out of steam before he gets it. The cheetah is so humiliated by his lack of getting what he had set his mind on getting, that he slinks back into the forest with the stomach growling, with pain and hunger racking his body, and in shame and humiliation, the cheetah goes and hides inside the forest for many, many, many hours until he finally gets the courage back up to say, oh well, I missed that one, but I gotta get back out and try it again, or I am going to starve to death. We've got just as much of that animal within our nature, young people, that says, I got a full head of steam. I got pumped up at youth camp. I got to feeling good and wonderful. And there's something I'm going after. And we head out of the gates with a burst of energy. But somehow, if we miss it by a few yards, if it gets outrun, there's something inside of us that the devil said, see there, it was a big pipe dream. See there, it was a big bunch of nonsense. See there, you can't get it. You'll never get it. Oh, God's got to do something inside of us that said, yeah, I tried it once, but guess what? I'm just as strong today as I was the first day that I saw it. I'm still going after it, God. I'm still going after it, devil. I am going to get the mountain that God has challenged me with. A famous, world-famous mountain climber had made his boast, had clamored, newspaper interviewers had come. They had written articles about his extensive training. They knew that he was the best equipped man with the most sophisticated equipment and all of the right team to go with him. He was to be the first to conquer Mount Everest, the forbidding mountain that stood way, way higher than where you've ever stood on top of the highest peak in Colorado. Mount Everest stood as an imposing fortress that nobody had yet conquered. He told of how he was going to climb it. He told of how, what his plan of action was going to be. He told everybody that my party is going to be the first to plant the flag on top of Mount Everest. With all the fanfare and the trumpeting and everybody applauding him, he set off on the journey that he felt so sure he was going to do. As they started up the mountain, the game plan unfolding exactly. Little did they know and realize that there was an awful storm that was going to sweep down that mountainside, not too far from their final attainment of the goal. And as the storm came and the snow built up and an avalanche began down the side of the mountain, and the base camp was swept away, and many of his party died out there on the mountain. He and just the few remaining without any equipment had to march back down the mountain. Redeemer, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are young people in this beautiful district that are headed home. I'm not here to dampen your faith by preaching to you like this, but I'm just telling you the reality of life. I know nobody that gets their mountain on the first attempt. I've not met the first preacher, the first young lady, the first young man that has the bragging rights to say the first time I tried to scale it, I made it. It was a piece of cake. But oh, the agony of the struggle when we didn't quite make it. But can I tell you, young person, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Say, my God, I ain't through growing. I can grow some more. I can grow some more. I can grow some more. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. God showed me the mountain at Youth Camp 1991. Not to frustrate me. Not to make me feel like I'm a miserable failure. But He showed me the mountain that I could grow one day. Woo! To make it all the way to the top of it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm asking Brother Elder to sing for us. That chorus we sang one night that says, you're gonna make it. Well, you're... Would you sing it, young people? Oh, you're gonna make it. Oh,
you've got what it takes to win. And I know that
you're gonna make it. My brother, you're gonna make it. Hallelujah. As you and Jesus stay praying.